Welcome to Animal Airwaves Live here on Florida's 89.1 WUFTFM. This is our weekly hour-long call-in show devoted to the discussion of the health and welfare of animals. My name is Dana Hill, and today we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, animal adoption. I have an adopted pet, and if you ever had one too, it is probably one of the best decisions you ever made. My guest is Dr. Wendy Mandisi from the UF College of Veterinary Medicine, and we're going to talk about what you need to know when you are going to bring a new furry friend into the home. If you'd like to join the conversation, our telephone number is area code 352-392-8989. Animal Airwaves Live is coming up after this news from NPR in Washington. Welcome to Animal Airwaves Live here on Florida's 89.1 WUFTFM. This is our weekly hour-long call-in show devoted to the discussion of the health and welfare of animals. My name is Dana Hill, host of the program, and today we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. I have an adopted pet, and I like to promote pet adoption to anybody who will listen to me. And today we're going to talk about some of what you need to know when you're bringing a new pet into your home, even before, maybe when you're deciding whether or not you want to bring a new pet into your home. And we're happy to have on the program today Dr. Wendy Mandisi from the UF College of Veterinary Medicine. And we are going to talk about the various things you need to know when you are adopting a pet. So welcome to the program, Dr. Mandisi. Glad to have you here.
Thank you very much.
So many people every year go and adopt a pet, either usually a dog or a cat, but many other kinds of animals.
Sure.
As well, and bring these animals into their homes. And I personally feel that it is one of the best things that you can ever do, because you are simultaneously bringing an animal into your home that you will grow to love, for sure.
Right.
And you're helping an animal, particularly if you adopt it from one of the many shelters in the community, or
right,
rescue groups who do wonderful work.
Yes.
Trying to help animals. And when you make this decision to bring an animal into your home, there is a lot you've got to think about. From one end of the spectrum to another, all the way from, do I have enough room? Do I have enough time? To you know, what kind of health issues,
right,
any particular kind of animal might face.
Sure.
And is it going to be expensive to take care of?
Sure. Yes.
So much to think about.
Yes.
So let's kind of start at the beginning. Let's talk about when you are going to adopt a pet. What should you think of in terms of the physical environment in which you are living and where the pet will live?
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, this is something that is very important to us as veterinarians. Our main goal is for pets to live a long, healthy life, and for that interaction with the pet and its owner to be a very positive one. And so, you know, the way to make that happen is to just be very educated about what type of pets you're going to get and what kind of things to expect when you bring that pet home and introduce that pet into your home. Definitely, as far as environment goes, that makes a big difference. Is this going to be a pet that you're going to keep inside to be a house pet? Is this a pet that you're going to do a lot of exercising with, hiking, camping, those kind of things? Are you adopting a dog for protection? Those types of things. So those are all things that need to be considered that should be discussed prior to going to pick a pet out.
Presumably, most people, when deciding to adopt a pet, will go to a shelter or to one of the rescue groups with a specific kind of pet in mind. So when I went, I knew that I wanted a kitty. Now,
right,
many people will go wanting a dog.
Right.
And I had to think about, okay, well, a kitty is something that I am able to take care of right now, because
sure,
I have a home where I don't have to ask a landlord whether or not I can have the kitty.
Yes.
I don't have, you know, a lot of stuff, at the time at least, that a kitty could destroy if it wanted,
right,
to scratch things. And it turns out my kitty doesn't really do that anyway, so I'm lucky there. Many people who are going to adopt dogs will have to think about, well, I have children, or I have a busy job that doesn't maybe allow me to come home at lunchtime. These are things to consider.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, you're right. Most people, when they go to buy or adopt an animal, they know ahead of time if they want to get a dog or a cat. If you just are thinking of getting a pet and you're just trying to make that decision, so, you know, definitely the things you mentioned are important. If you are if you travel a lot, if you're going to be gone a lot, if you're gone most of the day during the day, then maybe a cat would be better. They're just a little bit more solitary. They're easier. You know, if you go out of town and you have a kitty or more than one kitty, usually you can have a neighbor or a family member just kind of, you know, come in and check on them, and you leave a litter box out, food and water, and it's a lot easier. Obviously, you know, if you have a dog and you travel a lot, you either have to make arrangements to take your dog with you, or boarding, mm-hmm. or pet sitters. We have a pet sitter that comes to our house, you know, mm-hmm. those kind of things. And those expenses are things that you should think about ahead of time, as well as, you know, the well-being of the animal. Obviously, even, you know, expense aside, if you're going to, you know, have a dog, you know, you don't want it to be, you know, alone 5 days a week, right. while you're at work all day. So somebody should be home, or they have great doggy daycares. Now, we have several in Gainesville that are fantastic, and it's a place your dog can go during the day and play. But obviously, that's an added expense, too, and that can add up, something you should be prepared for.
I should give out the telephone number, because we'll be taking some calls later in the program. It's area code 352-392-8989, 392-8989. Now, I don't want to just make a hasty generalization, but let's do it anyway. Dogs are probably overall a little bit more expensive to take care of in the long run, because they're larger animals and they do require a bit more attention, right?
Well, I think as far as the things we talked about already, like boarding, doggy daycare, things like that, that there might be an added expense there. As far as, you know, maybe your yearly, big dogs, obviously they need a much bigger bag of food, and so that's mm-hmm. going to be a little bit more expensive. Cats may be a little bit less expensive to feed. As far as your yearly, exam, heartworm test, fecals, you know, getting heartworm and flea preventions, those medications, those are all going to be roughly about the same. But maybe there's, little in favor of the cat cost-wise.
Now, that said, many people want to have dogs because of the things that dogs do that cats just frankly are never going to do. Maybe you're a person who loves to go out and recreate, go jogging, go for walks in the park. That's something that you can do with your dog that
sure.
your cat's just yeah. never going to want to
I've known
do.
One or two cats that people actually take out on walks mm-hmm. on a leash or a harness. But, yes, that's pretty uncommon. So, yes, if you want an animal that you're going to exercise with or really take, you know, out for socialization and that kind of thing, then obviously, you know, a dog's probably going to be a little bit better.
Now, I know people who have adopted pets, and especially in Gainesville, we're living in a town where many people live in apartments or rent houses or condominiums, and you, in many cases, are allowed to have a pet, but you have to pay things like deposits, and
sure.
you have to often get permission from landlords. What do you think people should know who are thinking about getting a pet in a kind of transitory situation like we have around here? Is it just
right.
not a good idea to really get a pet when you're
I don't think so. I mean, I think a lot of times, college students, you know, they're here for, you know, 4 years usually at least. And so having a pet as a companion, I think, really helps a lot of people out. Again, it gets you out, gets you exercising. And, I think that everyone benefits from having a pet, and that includes students. You just need to have a game plan. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, once in a while, we'll do see animals that are left in houses or condos or surrendered to the Humane Society because people didn't really have a plan for what they were going to do with that pet after they left. Thank goodness most people are able to take their pet with them when they leave Gainesville, but that's something that you should think about ahead of time. And if it's not something you think is going to be possible, then obviously don't put your pet in the situation of having to be surrendered as an older pet back to the Humane Society or the shelter, once it's older and even less adoptable
yeah.
after you've had it for the amount of time that you're here in college.
So when you are at the Humane Society or when you're at the rescue group or some other place where you're browsing around for pets to bring home, specifically with something like a dog where, their dogs come in an enormous array of sizes
sure.
from absolutely enormous, almost like small horse-sized dogs,
right.
down to the little tiny dogs
mm-hmm.
that are about the size of kittens. With that in mind, you also need to think about how big a space you have. Maybe
oh,
you live
sure.
in a studio apartment or a one-bedroom apartment, and that's
right.
not much space. maybe you live in a pretty big house in the country and you have a great big yard. Sure. And you could probably have a pretty big sized dog. What should people know about this?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly if you live in a very small apartment, you know, a big dog is going to take up a lot of your space. And so that's something that you should think about. I mean, it's not to say that someone in a small apartment shouldn't adopt a big dog, because if you're able to take them out for really, really long walks, maybe to the dog park, and that dog gets ample exercise, mm-hmm. then even being in a small apartment where they're doing mostly resting, then that would be okay. Yeah. But if they don't get out a whole lot, that might be, you know, not having a yard to run in might be a lot, especially young dogs. I think a lot of people adopt young dogs in general, but certainly larger breed dogs, not really realizing how much exercise they really do need. And what can happen is that, you know, they get all this pent up energy, and then that actually can, you know, show itself as being destructive. They just have so much energy, and that's not being used up. And so they'll use that energy to, you know, chew up your shoes and maybe start to be destructive. And by exercising them, you can really, you know, help with that behavior.
I'm going to ask a question that may be difficult to answer because it's probably specific to the individual animals. But how much, if you could generalize, how much exercise time does an average dog need just out of the house, you know, on walks or running in the park?
I would say, you know, probably at a bare minimum, maybe a good hour a day of really rigorous exercise, mm-hmm. not just, you know, a slow walk, but, you know, where they're able to really run and just really burn off a lot of that energy. And I would say that is a minimum, probably about an hour a day that you really need to mm-hmm. exercise your dog. Some dogs are going to need more than that. Some not that much. Yeah. And as dogs age, if you adopt an older dog, really, you know, that makes a big difference as far as that goes. You know, a 5, 6, 7-year-old large breed dog is going to need a lot more rest time than a 2-year-old large breed dog. One 2-year-old large breed dog is going to need a lot of exercise. Even small breed dogs, they need a lot of exercise. You know, an older dog is going to require less. And so for somebody who doesn't have as much time, maybe an older dog would even be the way to go.
That's a fascinating point. Later in the program, we're going to talk about some of the differences between adopting older animals mm-hmm. Versus younger animals. And there are pros and cons on both sides.
Sure.
But before we do, still talking about environment, with animals like cats, I know many people have allergies to them. I just know
yes.
this because when I have friends come over, sometimes I'll hear some of them say, oh, I'm allergic to cats.
Right.
And, it's something to think about. Before you go ahead and adopt an animal like that, you should probably know everyone in your household whether or not they're allergic to cats, right?
Right. And sometimes it's hard to know ahead of time if you don't own a pet whether or not especially your child. Most adults know because they've been around a dog and or a cat. It's not just cats that people can have allergies to. You can
really?
Actually have allergies to dogs as well. Mm-hmm. Cats tend to be a little bit more allergenic. And a lot of people, there's even some, you know, a lot of people ask us about hypoallergenic dogs. And there actually aren't hypoallergenic dogs. The main thing that is allergenic about pets is proteins that's in their saliva and their skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are certain breeds of dogs, Portuguese water dogs, poodles, Bichons, that have a different hair shedding cycle. So they shed less.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is animals lick their fur, and
right.
of course those saliva proteins plus proteins that are from the skin are actually on the fur that sheds. So some people say that they're a little bit less allergenic. They're not hypoallergenic.
Mm-hmm.
The allergens are still there, but they may be less likely to cause an allergy attack in someone that has allergies. But cats, I think, are more allergenic because, of course, they groom themselves more, and
yes.
so there's more saliva in contact with their fur. So, but yes, people should know, and I usually recommend if somebody doesn't have a pet and they want to know if their child is allergenic, you know, take them to somebody's house to see,
yeah.
you know, if they are allergic to mm-hmm. Their cat or dog. And again, unfortunately, this can be animal specific too. Some cats among people that have
mm-hmm.
allergies don't seem to really have any problem at all around certain animals. And then, you know, some cats just drive them crazy with their allergies. So it really kind of depends on the person and depends on the animal. So it's not foolproof, but excuse me, just maybe, you know, exposing them to a dog or a cat might at least help figure it out.
You're listening to Animal Airwaves Live here on Florida's 89.1 WUFT-FM. This is our weekly hour-long call-in show devoted to the discussion of the health and welfare of animals. And my name is Dana Hill. We're speaking today with Dr. Wendy Mendizi from the UF College of Veterinary Medicine about what to know when you're thinking about bringing a new friend into the house. Let's talk about temperament there are many different kinds of pets, right? And cats are known for being, as you said, more solitary animals. Now, that's not to say that there aren't very loving cats that want to spend lots of time with their human friends. And there are plenty of dogs who will be very, very calm and seem to want to relax a lot. And then there are dogs that just have all the energy in the world and want to run around and meet everybody.
Sure.
That said, you probably need to consider what kind of lifestyle that you want to have. Are you a person who does spend a lot of time just kind of relaxing and sitting down? Are you a person who wants to go out and exercise a lot and therefore, you know, you could really spend a lot of time with a dog, going to the park, that sort of thing? And how will that dog sort of interact, or that pet interact, with your lifestyle and how compatible that is, particularly if you have a home with small children?
Sure. Right? Yes. Yeah. And I mean, again, this is a very important part about it. There's no one right or wrong answer as far as what dog you adopt or what cat you adopt. As a generalization, it really depends on your particular family. I mean, you know, for example, you know, everybody knows, you know, golden retrievers, labs are supposed to be known as, you know, some of the friendliest dogs, but they are very big dogs. Mm-hmm. And for people that have small children that are afraid of dogs, some small children don't have any problem, mm-hmm. you know, with dogs, no matter what the size, they're very comfortable with them. And some people have kids that are just much more timid around animals. And so to get a large breed dog that as a puppy is going to, you know, probably knock the children over if they're toddlers. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because they're just very large and very energetic, then that might not be the best thing for your family. And if you have kids that are going to be, you know, that are really comfortable around dogs, then maybe that would be fine. So it really depends on what the personality of everyone in your family and what you plan on, you know, on doing with that animal. If you're going to spend a lot of time outside, if you're going to take your dog camping or hiking or running or that kind of thing, then obviously you wouldn't want to adopt one of the northern breeds, you know, that have really the thick, full coat. That wouldn't be safe for them in this Florida humidity mm-hmm, and heat mm-hmm. to exercise with that dog. And so that's one thing to consider. And yeah, I mean, really it has to do with every member of your family. If you really want an animal and you to just be a companion, but you're not really planning on, you know, doing a whole lot active-wise with them, then again, like we talked about before, maybe an older dog is going to be the best fit for your family.
So this may be a difficult question to answer, but for I know based on experience that it is often the children in the house that beg mom and dad for a pet, right? Mm-hmm. Often, let's say a dog. Oh, mom and dad, can we have a dog? And kids are really enthusiastic about it. And you'll see them at the, you know, at the animal shelter looking around and, oh, that dog is really
right.
pretty. And, oh, this dog is really friendly. But you mentioned children may be afraid of dogs. And, you know, here comes the question. What can parents do if they're thinking about it and they're really unsure about how the child is going to react? Maybe take the child to a friend's.
Sure. Maybe just expose them to animals, large breed, small breed, just to kind of see, you know, what your child seems to have a better affinity for. One of the great things about rescue groups is that a lot of those animals are in a foster situation. Mm-hmm. And some of those foster situations have children. Most of them have other dogs. Some have cats. And so really they can kind of see firsthand how these animals are in these environments. So that's, you know, one real benefit to adopting is that most of the time, for example, if you go, you know, to PetSmart, to one of their big adopt-a-thons where they yeah. have several rescue groups there and you're talking to the counselors, you know, keep in mind the rescue groups have, you know, one goal, and that's to find a good home for that animal and to not have it wind up back in a shelter situation. And so they're going to be very forthright about what that animal's problems are. They're going to say, you know what, this dog just doesn't like little kids and that, you know, doesn't mean it's a bad dog. It just, you know, not everybody likes not every dog likes the hyperactivity of young children and the unpredictable movements. And so, you know, this is going to be a dog that's better adapted to maybe a couple that doesn't have kids, or, you know, somebody that's single or something like that. And so, or they might say, you know, this dog doesn't like other dogs or mm-hmm. isn't great with cats or something mm-hmm. like that. And usually they're very, very forthright about that. They really have nothing to gain from adopting out an animal
right.
that it's not going to be a good fit. And so just sitting down and talking to them and saying, you know, just telling them what your limitations are and you know what, my kids are a little bit timid, and they may say, you know what, I've got the perfect dog for you because this dog is, you know, very friendly. And so that's one great thing about rescue groups, and even just going to either your veterinarian or a rescue group before you make the decision mm-hmm. to even adopt an animal and talk to them about those needs. Again, you know, I think everyone's goal in this field is to, you know, find the best fit for your family. And mm-hmm. so even talking about that ahead of time is a good idea.
I should give out the telephone number again because we're going to be taking calls a little bit later in the program. It's area code 352-392-8989. If you want to join the conversation, we're talking about adopting new pets into the home and bringing a new friend into your life. Please give us a call. Now, with small children, on one hand, you could have a very large dog that, as you said, may not on purpose at all, but knock over a small child. And then on the other hand, you could have a small dog that a child in his enthusiasm for, you know, loving this animal could potentially hurt it
right.
accidentally.
Oh, absolutely.
There must be a happy medium somewhere.
Sure. Yes, there. And I mean, a lot of this comes into the parent involvement, too. Mm-hmm. No animal, no matter, you know, no matter where it comes from, whether it's rescued or, you know, no animal should really be left alone with children, especially in those early stages. Mm-hmm. I mean, animals are animals, and you don't always know exactly what they're thinking or what they're feeling. And again, you know, small children are the same way. And to be, you know, make sure that you educate your children on how to pet and how to touch a dog. I mean, you know, we hear a lot of times as veterinarians, you know, my dog is, you know, he's such a great dog. My kids can pull his ears and pull mm-hmm. his tail and pull his fur, and he doesn't, and, which is great. I mean, it does say that your dog is very tolerant of that, but it isn't really fair to right. the dog, you know, for those things to take place. And even more importantly, it's not really fair to the child either
yeah.
because you're really kind of teaching them certain things are okay.
Yeah.
And maybe they are in this dog, but they might not be in another dog.
Right.
And so that could, you know, that could be a dangerous situation even. So I think it's very important that, you know, that all children, whether they even have their own pet or not, are taught, you know, what things are okay to do with animals as far as stroking and rubbing and what are not things, you know, things that hurt, like pulling ears and pulling tails and you know, carrying by their head and
yeah.
and things like that. So just making sure that parent is there, especially with any animal at any time, but certainly with a new adopted animal when everyone's getting to know each other,
yeah.
you know, see what things are going to be okay and what aren't.
I was recently speaking with one of your colleagues, a behaviorist, about what causes some animals in some situations to kind of lash out and bite. And her point was that it is usually fear that mm-hmm. prompts animals to bite, especially children, because as you said, children can behave somewhat erratically
right.
and unpredictably, and, mm-hmm. and a dog can just be minding his own business and up, you know, sort of toddles this little child and mm-hmm. tugs at the ears or what have you. And I think often what happens is some dogs get perhaps unfairly, perhaps fairly, I don't really know, a reputation for aggression.
Right.
And people may have concerns sometimes about what kind of animals to adopt, and some animals are labeled dangerous around children.
Right.
Can you talk about that at all?
I mean, I think, you know, you pretty much summed it up that there's some dogs that just do not, and cats too, you could
right.
even say, that do not like those sudden movements of kids. And they're very, you can even tell, you can see the body language, they're just mm-hmm. very leery of young children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a dog that is that way with young children. She doesn't love, you know, very small kids. She's always just has that little bit of a nervous look in her eye. But, you know, my kids are 8 and 11, and my animals are fine with them and their friends
mm-hmm.
because they're older, they're bigger, they look more adult-like, and so they're just a little bit more comfortable. So, again, rescue groups are going to be really good about knowing that about an animal, usually. Even if they haven't been around children, you can tell when an animal might have that little bit of a nervous
yeah.
quality to it, where that might not be the most ideal environment for that dog, whereas you know, with an adult family, there's no problems at all. It's just with maybe young toddler kids. And there's so many dogs out there that are excellent and they're fantastic
yeah.
with little kids. It's still important to teach those small children how to be around that dog and what kind of things are okay and what aren't. But yeah, I mean, there's so many out there that, I mean, there's no shortage of dogs that need good homes that fit just about any family.
Well, that's a great point that you made, that it's a kind of about helping small children recognize
sure.
what signals the animal is giving you.
Right.
A cat with ears all the way back, mm-hmm. That cat's probably pretty agitated and mm-hmm. is not looking forward to being prodded.
Right.
And the dog, likewise, will have other sort of signals. And it makes me wonder whether or not another thing that you could do, if you're going to one of these adopt-a-thons or if you're going to a shelter to look at the various animals, especially with older animals, you could already sort of recognize how the animal is going to handle it. You know, if you're at the adopt-a-thon and you have brought your, say, your 5-year-old child and the dog seems really happy,
right.
Then, you know, that's pretty good. I wonder if, I wonder what the difference is if you were to, say, adopt a puppy or a kitten. On one hand, I would think that perhaps you could have some kind of influence on the kitten or puppy as it grows older, mm-hmm. Sort of dealing with a child.
Right. Yes. And, I mean, some animals, their personality doesn't, you know, their full personality doesn't come out fully until they're a little bit older, maybe closer to a year of age. Puppies act a little bit different behavior-wise than adult dogs do. So, that can definitely make a difference, whether it's a young or old animal. You know, and you can look for certain clues that it might be a more timid, scared animal in the adoption environment, maybe sitting in the back of the cage with the ears flat back. Mm-hmm. But I would also like to say that sometimes those animals are just intimidated by the environment
right.
they're in with all of the noise and commotion.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't necessarily mean. And so if you see a dog that you seem to that you seem to really be interested in and that's their demeanor, I wouldn't write them off right away.
Yeah.
Maybe talk to the adoption group and their foster parent and say, you know, do they just – and they'll say, oh, you know what? When you get home, they're totally fine. It's just right. Here they seem to be a little bit more timid. There are cues you can look at, but keep in mind at, let's say, adopt-a-thons, when there's tons of people and other dogs and everything around, that can be intimidating, you know, just for an animal in general.
Before we take a break, I can absolutely confirm what you're saying. When we adopted our kitty in the room at the Humane Society with all the other kitties, she really seemed very shy and not as outgoing. In fact, she didn't seem to be interested in me whatsoever. My wife spotted something in her, though, and said, I think this is the one. And at our house, she is really the kitty that she is, and she's very loving and very friendly.
Right.
And it's just in that atmosphere,
yes.
she really wasn't able to be herself. Now, we're going to take a short break right now. I invite you to give us a call. Our number is 392-8989. We'll be back with more Animal Airwaves right after this. Welcome back to Animal Airwaves Live here on Florida's 89.1 WUFT-FM. This is our weekly hour-long call-in show devoted to the discussion of the health and welfare of animals. Our telephone number is 352-392-8989. My name is Dan Hill, and we are talking to Dr. Wendy Mendisi about what to know when you are thinking about adopting a pet. Now, we're going to talk about some of the medical issues coming up in just a minute, but another thing that I think is important to consider when you're considering adopting a pet is, as we talked about with environment and the kinds of animals and what sort of needs they have vis-a-vis amount of time they spend with people, another thing that we mentioned when talking about temperament, I guess, animals that, like dogs, who you know, often require a bit more human interaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a person who is going to be gone a lot, right, you may have a situation that you don't even know because you're not home that maybe your dog is barking a lot or
sure.
crying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what sort of advice can you give people about ahead of time, you know, what to consider and even if it's already happened to them?
Right. As far as, you know, things like separation mm-hmm. anxiety, just anxiety about a new home, these are definitely things that we see in a lot of animals. And you know, one thing that people have been known to do is set up a video camera in their home to kind of see what their dog is doing or what their cat is doing when they aren't at home, which I always think is an interesting idea. Usually neighbors are more than happy to let you know if your dog is if your dog is barking all day or crying all day. And so, you know, keep in mind these are things that can happen in a new environment, and speaking to either a behaviorist or your veterinarian are things that, you know, every animal's different in what their triggers are for mm-hmm. these kind of things. It may just be anxiety about being alone. It may just be general anxiety, thunderstorm anxiety. We see a lot of that here, and these are just behavior types of things that we see commonly in animals that usually can be managed one way or another. And again, just speaking to your veterinarian or a behaviorist about those things.
Just before we went to a break, we were talking about some of the differences between adopting an older animal versus a younger animal. And I can see just on the surface some of the pros and cons. That is to say, puppies and kittens are so cute. Mm-hmm. And you go and you see them and you just fall in love with these little animals. On the other hand, puppies and kittens do require a great deal of attention and care. You have to be careful with them. You mm-hmm. have to really look after them. They can be mischievous. Mm-hmm. They can get into all sorts of trouble. And you do sort of have the potential to maybe shape that animal's personality in some ways.
Sure.
Right? And, mm-hmm. and you know, the animal that you have had since it was a kitten or a puppy, maybe it starts to seem a little bit more like you over time. on the other hand, adult animals, animals that have maybe had a previous owner before, that animal's personality may sort of be set by the time you mm-hmm. bring it home.
Right.
But on the other hand, you also can get a pretty good idea of what you're getting sometimes
right.
if you can spend a little bit of time with that animal before you adopt, especially if you can find yourself in one of these foster sort of situations.
Sure, yes. And I mean, that's another good thing, like we talked about before, about fosters is that they usually have a pretty good idea about what that animal's personality is like. And like you mentioned, with an older animal, maybe that's going to be less likely to change as they get older than maybe a puppy or kitten would. Another benefit to adopting an older animal, maybe even one doesn't have to be, you know, older, but over a year of age, is that a lot of things have already been done.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the truth is, especially when rescue dogs and cats, by the time they're over 4 to 5 months old, usually everything, all of the basic maintenance is done for you. And so all their vaccines are up to date. We finished those about 16 weeks of age. So all their vaccines are up mm-hmm. to date. Most of them are spayed and neutered already,
yeah.
Dewormed, have started heartworm prevention. So all of the basic care that you would be responsible for a younger puppy, an 8-week-old puppy or so, you know, that is already taken care of, and you kind of don't have to worry about that anymore, which is nice.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Doc in Citra. Hey, Doc, tell me about your chow. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Her previous owner was, I won't say it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He took her out to the field and tried putting her down with a shotgun.
Aww.
Yikes.
He missed, blew off her back, back right leg. And I want to know, is there anything more I can do for her? Because I massage her back leg, because, you know, she only has one back there.
So she had her leg surgically removed then?
Yeah. They did a real nice job. It's almost all the way up to the hip.
Yes. Yes, I mean, the good news is that animals that are missing a leg or, you know, have a leg amputated, they actually do remarkably well. They don't have the emotional stigma that we do with that. And so, you know, I'm always amazed at just their resilience and the fact that, you know, not long after an amputation, they're, you know, running around like they did before within just a few days. So I think
that she could outrun a horse.
That's right. It's amazing, as it doesn't slow them down at all, which I think you're doing all the right things. Just making sure that she's really comfortable. Good for you for adopting her. I know that was a hard situation to enter into, so
actually,
good for you.
She adopted me. She was 2 weeks away from being put down.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She had been in the pound for 4 months.
Right.
Now, physically, Dr. Mendizi, these animals, probably animals that are missing a limb, maybe have a little bit more pressure on the joints for the remaining limbs. Is that an issue?
You know, we do see that sometimes. I mean, depending on, I guess, if they're predisposed already to getting arthritis mm-hmm. in their other limbs, and maybe it makes it a little bit harder as they age. But I'm always amazed. Usually, whenever the affected leg is removed, really the rest of their life isn't affected too much. And so, obviously, if they develop arthritis in the remaining leg, they don't have a lot, you know, to be able to be very mobile as they get older. So mm-hmm. as they age, that might definitely affect them. But they.
You know, I'd like to bring in something too.
Yeah.
Anybody that wants to go buy an animal, don't. Go adopt. Please adopt. We have so many that need it.
That's absolutely true. There are a lot of animals that need homes.
It's yeah. And this animal, you say, it came to you, Doc?
Well, she always laid in the back of her. I guess I call it a jail cell. That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I walked by the cage, bam, she was up there trying to get her tongue through.
Yeah.
And I did not want to adopt her because, you know, it'd be the first time I had a dog with a missing limb.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other dogs they let out, they could care less about me.
Yeah.
So they said, "You want to try Lisa?" I said, "Well, sure. Let her out. Let's see what happens."
Mm-hmm.
She almost broke her neck getting to me.
Yeah.
And I trained her in Vietnamese, and she knows it.
Yeah. Now, how long have you had your...
I adopted her when she was 2 years old. She's now 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The question that I had for the doctor is, you know, she's a small chow.
Mm-hmm.
She's just below the kneecap. How long do I have with her left?
Well, I always hate that question because, you know, obviously at 8, she's starting to become, we would consider about 8 in a mid to large breed dog, the beginning of their geriatric years. But we've seen dogs that live to be 14, 15 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may have, you know, another 6, 7, 8 years with her. As she gets older, she's going to be more prone to developing, you know, kind of chronic old age problems. So making sure her weight is under control, definitely with the only, you know, with only having one rear leg, keeping her weight under control is going to help slow any progression of arthritis in her remaining leg. So keeping her weight nice and low, and then, you know, just making sure she has basic maintenance health care. And really, there's no reason, certainly her missing leg shouldn't affect her longevity, and there isn't any reason you couldn't have, you know, many more years to enjoy her.
Oh, I hope so. I
hope so, too.
Yeah,
I wanted to get the message out there. Please don't go buy an animal.
And Doc, let me just say, good for you. And I'm so glad that you have found a close friend and a friend that really sounds like needed you.
She sleeps in bed with me. My buddy Tom built her a pair of steps so she can get up on the bed. And ever since then, left side of the bed's hers.
Outstanding. Well, thanks so much, and give her a nice pat for me. Now, Dr. Mendizi, I should say that, you know, like Doc, I have some friends who adopted a dog with only 3 legs
mm-hmm.
and had been in some sort of situation in which she had to lose one of her legs. Now, this dog lost one of her front legs.
Okay.
And she is doing great.
Yes. Yes, they usually do remarkably well. Like mm-hmm. I said, I mean, usually within a few days of surgery, they are running around. And again, they don't have an emotional attachment to their limbs like we do.
Right,
so
right.
So they don't, I don't think even, you know, really realize what's going on. A lot of times that limb, depending on the reason that it has been removed, a lot of times, you know, it has been a real source of pain for them. So a lot of times they even feel better not long after
yeah.
surgery than they did prior to surgery. So yeah, it's always amazing how well they do. And, you know, we have to counsel owners when that's a surgery that needs to be done because they think that it's, you know, it just emotionally for them is very difficult, but we have to just let them know, you know what, they're going to do great. And I haven't had an owner yet that regretted the decision, you know,
yeah.
to have that surgery done when it was medically necessary.
Now, one of the things Doc wanted to emphasize is the benefit really of adoption, right? Now, I can say that I am proud adopter of an animal from a shelter. I got my kitty, Moggy, at the Alachua County Humane Society, where they do wonderful work trying to find homes for animals that are very loving and really deserve homes. And you can get everything from a small kitten or a puppy up to an older animal that really needs
a
home.
What I think a lot of people don't realize is that say a lot of people have had, you know, a certain breed since they were children, mm-hmm. and they really they want to stick with that breed, and they think that the only way they're going to be able to do that is to find a breeder and buy a puppy. And if you are interested in adoption, there's absolutely no reason you can't adopt, you know, a purebred or a breed that's very much like your purebred dog. And in fact, there's a website called Pet Finder, just www.petfinder.com, and on that they're all rescue animals, but you can actually plug in the age you want and the breed you want, and then they feed from all of the rescue groups in your area. So it'll start from, if you live in Gainesville, the ones closest by, and then maybe even go out as far as Orlando or even South Florida or farther north, and it kind of gives you an idea. And I've told a lot of friends about that wanted a certain breed, mm-hmm. Of dog, and I said, you know what, you just try Pet Finder. But yeah, what happens is these breed-specific rescue groups, which there's one for just about every right. breed now, and these breed-specific rescue groups will go to shelters, or someone will call them and say, hey, you know what, there's a Bichon down at animal control. You know, animals are surrendered for so many reasons, and if you look up, you know, the top 10 reasons that animals are surrendered, you find that the top 8 are really due to the owner, not the animal. So a
right.
lot of people think when they get a rescued animal that there's got to be a reason, that there's going to be there must be something wrong with the animal. But the top 8 reasons, you know, it's the owner's moving or finances or something like that. The top 8 reasons across the board for dogs and cats really are, it's an owner issue instead of a pet issue. So, Pet Finder is a really good site. I have a mixed breed dog that's mm-hmm. rescue, and I have a Doberman that I got from Doberman Rescue, and she actually came from a breed specific rescue group. So they're out there and they're really great. And again, you know, kind of the positive point is that usually everything is done. They are already spayed and mm-hmm. neutered. They're already fully vaccinated. You kind of can jump over those initial expenses.
And another great thing about these rescue groups is that these people are so passionate in their advocacy for these animals. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who was part of a basset hound rescue group locally, and she had on a regular basis gone out to, you know, pick up a basset mm-hmm. hound from here, take care of it and foster it for a little while, mm-hmm. and then take it somewhere else. And they were so careful to, you know, take care of these animals and try and find homes for this specific breed of animal. And it probably comes from, you know, maybe when you're a kid, you had one of these basset hounds and you
sure.
just really love them. And,
yes.
and it's a breed that stands out to you. And so
yes.
you want to do what you can to help these animals.
Right.
And I just want to applaud those groups who do that. Now, you mentioned that these rescue groups and shelters will have taken care of some certain things for you, mm-hmm. spaying and neutering.
Yes.
But if you bring home an animal, what other stuff should you worry about right away? I know that when I adopted my kitty, I was supposed to take her to the veterinarian within
mm-hmm.
a couple days and
yes.
have her checked out.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of rescue groups work with a veterinarian, but most practices in Gainesville, including us at the University of Florida, we do a free adoption exam for pets that were recently adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So what we would always want is for you to bring that pet in to have a good thorough physical exam, make sure that there isn't something, a congenital problem or something that that maybe you didn't know about, or maybe the rescue group didn't
mm-hmm.
know about when they were adopted out. So a good thorough physical exam. If you have either just found a pet, it didn't come through a rescue group where a lot of the preliminary stuff is done. Say if you've just found a pet or gotten one from a friend or something like that with no known medical history, then what we would want to go ahead and do is start off doing first sets of vaccines, and we do vaccines all the way up to about 16 weeks. Of course, check for intestinal parasites.
Mm-hmm.
By doing a fecal and doing a deworming, get that animal started on heartworm prevention, something very, very important in Florida. Heartworms are carried by mosquitoes, and obviously we have a lot of those here.
Mm-hmm.
So having your dog and even cat on heartworm prevention year-round is very important in Florida. And then, you know, have your veterinarian talk to you about basic maintenance things, dental care, making sure that you're brushing your animal's teeth, or either preparing that at some point without teeth brushing, your pet will probably need to have a dentistry done.
Mm-hmm.
And then just talk about vaccination schedules, you know, that kind of thing.
Can you tell me a little bit more about this free exam for newly adopted animals?
Yes.
Can anyone from the community come in? Should they make appointments?
Oh, definitely an appointment should be made. And then just let the front desk know when you call that it's a newly adopted animal.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that free exam is and it's not just our practice. There's other practices that do it as well. So
if you've adopted, say, a puppy or a kitten, it may have no problems with its teeth, but maybe an older animal has some problems with its teeth, and you guys would look for that in the exam,
right? Oh, absolutely, yes. And so if it's an animal that need and even a puppy or kitten, they maybe have retained baby teeth, you know, which is something that really should be removed under sedation. Doing a good thorough oral exam, if your animal needs a dentistry, going ahead and getting that done, you know, would be something that you would want to do. And rescue groups are really great at doing a lot of health maintenance. Obviously, something like a dentistry in all of their older animals isn't always, you know, possible for them cost-wise. So that may be something that you take on when you adopt an animal.
Before we go, you mentioned right at the very beginning of the program, you said how education is so important. And in the time we have left, can we talk a little bit more about that? You know, someone considering adopting a pet would do very well to give it a great deal of thought, really, before you go ahead and make that commitment. Because ideally, when you adopt a pet, you want to be able to make a lifelong commitment, right? At least that the pet's lifetime.
Right.
Pets
in general, they bring so much, you know, happiness to people. And we the last thing we would want was for that to be a negative experience for someone. It's, you know, it's going to happen out there. Not every pet is compatible with every person. But, you know, being educated and knowing kind of what you're looking for before you go in to adopt an animal is not just for you but for your entire family is very important to making sure that that's a bond. There's so many good things that come from owning a pet, and you want to be able to capitalize on all of those. So just knowing what to expect, and that way it's not you know, a big shock to you when certain things happen when you adopt an animal, things you weren't prepared for. You want to be prepared financially, be prepared, you know, do you have enough space? Do you have enough time? And just go ahead and make those provisions ahead of time. And, you know, I'd like to say that one thing that you can do is if you go on the ASPCA.org, that website actually has a great, they call it the canine ability test, or canine analogy test, like a personality test. And it kind of gives you a little rundown about what type of dog might be best for you. And then it also has a rundown of basic costs. Again, those can vary a little bit. But the ASPCA has a great website, ASPCA.org, that really kind of breaks it down for you and helps that decision be a little bit easier. And then, you know, again, as veterinary professionals, we want that to be a really positive relationship between you and your pet. So please don't hesitate to call us or contact us or even come in for a consultation before you have made the decision to adopt. And we'd be happy to talk to you about the types of things to expect and kind of what you should be prepared for cost-wise for veterinary care as well as, you know, other things too.
Now, I don't mind saying here on the air that, you know, when I adopted my kitty about 6 years ago, I remember what the adoption fee was, and I have since never regretted for a second adopting Moggy, and I will say, and I'm sure that our friend Doc would echo this, that there's not been a day that has gone by that I haven't been happy that I've brought this kitty into my life, that she brings me all kinds of happiness. You know, when I come home, here's this happy kitty that wants to spend time with me, and I'm sure that Doc feels the same, that he's got this really great friend that really wanted to be part of his life and needed someone to kind of be there. And it's a wonderful thing. If you can do it, it's a really wonderful thing to do.
And I'm happy to say most of the people that I talk to, that is their exact sentiment. I have 4 rescued animals, and they're a lot of work, but I never once ever regret having them in my lives and my children's lives, our family's lives. So I'm happy to say that that's the experience that most people have. They are just so happy to have that animal in their lives, and they bring us, you know, just so much joy and companionship.
Well, Dr. Wendy Mendizi from the UF College of Veterinary Medicine, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today.
It was my pleasure. Me too.
I want to say thank you to Richard Drake for answering the phones today. Thank you to Steve Seif for directing the program, and Sarah Carey at the Vet College. Thank you so much as well. My name is Dana Hill. We'll be back next week with another Animal Airwaves Live.